You're listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, brought to you in glorious 4-bit color. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And I'm your buddy, Mike the Ghoul, going to talk some Game Boy today.
We are. We've done lists on the NES and the SNES, and it seemed only fitting that we continue the trend and do the Game Boy before we turn to Genesis games, and both you and I sit there going, man, I don't know any of these games.
Might as well run the triumvirate here, the three original Nintendo systems that we all grew up with.
Yeah, the ones that everyone knows, the ones that have all the games everyone played, the ones that people go back to time and again. There are other great Nintendo consoles, but, sure, like, you talk about the ones that people are going to speedrun or going to randomize and everything, and most of that crap is here on these systems. Yeah, so we have a list... A list of the top 10. It's technically a list of the top 50, but mostly we're just going to focus on the top 10, because if we did 50 items, we'd be here all day. You guys don't have time to listen to that. This list comes to us from Nintendo Life, which, I mean, obviously it's going to have a Nintendo bent to it. Sure. But, you know, it's fun to ridicule them for all the stuff that they decided to put on their list that probably most other people wouldn't be paying that much attention to.
Yeah.
Before we start the list, what are your thoughts on the original Game Boy?
I love the original Game Boy. I still remember getting it for Christmas as a kid. I remember I was too young to understand what it really was when I saw the commercial for it. Like, I didn't realize it was like a screen. I thought it was like some sort of like Rolodex or something. The way it scrolled, I just thought it was cool. I was like 6 years old. I'm like, I want one. And then when I got it and saw that it was like an actual like little mini console, I was thrilled. I had all the things. I had the magnifying light for it. I had the carry pack, like, you know, sign me up, man. Nintendo had me as a kid.
I had a lot of stuff for the Game Boy when I was growing up. I had a roommate that stole a shit ton of stuff, which was irritating. A few of my games and, like, a bunch of my accessories. I had two different Game Boy battery packs, and they're both gone now. Mm. Not that I'm playing Game Boy much anymore, but it would still be nice to have the accessories I grew up with. My Game Genie for the Game Boy is gone because it was stolen in that whole pack. So if he'd, like, picked up one of my travel bags, because I had all my Game Boy crap in, like, three travel bags, because... Mm. A kid of the 80s, you picked up a lot of Game Boy crap. And so I lost some of that. But the power of the Game Boy was the fact that, yes, it was black and white, quote-unquote, for color. But right. Nintendo and the various people they worked with found a way to cram all the best series into that Game Boy, that black and white NES, basically, and create NES-like experiences.
Yeah, very true. I mean, you get some of the classics on here. You know, Mario, of course... Pokemon kind of got its birth on here before it went to the regular Nintendo.
And we'll cover that.
Donkey Kong, you know, on here. You got some of the classics, some of the greats. And of course, you know, we'll get to the main one, but, you know, we'll just say Zelda's on here too. Why not?
Also, spoiler, if we ever try and do a top 10 of the Virtual Boy games, that will also be the entirety of the Virtual Boy library.
Yeah, I love Virtual Boy Tennis. I remember getting one from KB Toys as a kid, and I'm glad I stopped playing it because my vision's bad enough as it is.
Right. So yeah, anyway, we'll start with the list in the top 10 with number 10, which is a curious choice for me. Like, a very curious choice, especially when you go over everything else that is in the top 10, and it kind of makes you wonder what they're going for with this list. But number 10 is Mario Picross.
I'm not going to lie. I never played this one. I didn't know it was a thing. Reading about it, I see that it's a puzzle game, and it's got a lot of puzzles. So there's a lot of content here, which has to give it, like, a leg up on some of the other Game Boy games that were, you know, a little bit more... you know, crude, I guess you'd say, in the length that you can play with them. But, I mean, it's a curious choice. I would have much rather seen something like Dr. Mario up here. But, I mean, I get it. It's unique. It's got well over 200 levels, I think, looking at it. So there's a lot of content. I understand why, but like you said, it's curious.
It came out midway into the life cycle for the Game Boy, because the Game Boy had a surprisingly long life cycle. And so there's a lot of games that could have been chosen from, even at that point. There's a lot of voxel games and... like those various Sokoban-style games and other things. No mistake, there are people that love Mario Picross. It's a fun game for what it is. But it doesn't thrill me the way that Dr. Mario or Yoshi, Yoshi's Cookie, Wario's Woods. There's a lot of puzzle games. A lot of them feature some sort of like block-dropping thing. And Picross is not a block-dropper, but... I don't see putting this high on the list. In the top 50, sure. In the top 10, no.
Yeah, this feels like one of those gems that the article writer just really enjoyed as a kid, or someone really liked this one. And you want to throw something random in here into your top 10, it's fine. You can do a lot less in arguing with the Mario game, but some of the other ones are just a little more quality, I think.
Sure. We get into the real list with the next title, which is Final Fantasy Adventure, and this is a fun one. The start of the Mana series, one of the early quote-unquote Final Fantasy games. We didn't get a ton of the original Final Fantasies, but we got their weird quote-unquote spin-offs, the Legends and the Adventure. And they don't play like Final Fantasy, but this one was interesting because it was Square's attempt at almost doing like a Zelda, and I rather enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's got a good feel. The description says it plays more like a Legend of Zelda game, and it kind of really does. It spawned some of my favorite games of all time in like Secret of Mana and the Mana series, so like I'm all about it. I get it's placed on the list for what it did, and it's a Final Fantasy game. I'm gonna always be biased to the series in general, so I'm happy to see it cracking the top 10 on this list when it was left off some other ones that we went over.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, like, of all the Final Fantasy spin-offs for the Game Boy that we got, the three Legends and Adventure was the easiest to get into. The Final Fantasy Legend games could be brutally hard and obtuse, because they were basically continuations of the concepts from Final Fantasy II that we didn't get. And that game was brutally hard and obtuse, and, like, expect you to just, like, explore the mechanics of the game. The Final Fantasy Adventure's easy by comparison. You just pick up a sword and some other weapons, and you go to town killing enemies and doing things. It's a nice blend of RPG mechanics with Zelda, in an adventure that was actually fairly simple to pick up and play.
Yeah, some of the games, like you said, for the other Final Fantasies, like, and all, they really weren't geared toward, I think, who the Game Boy was for. Game Boy's for little kids, and some of the mechanics in some of these other games were just a little too advanced for, like, you know, my 10-year-old brain at the time to understand. So I'm much more geared towards something like Adventure, that I can pick up and play and not have to worry about what else was going on. It was just a fun game to play.
We're going to see a lot of Mario Land games on this list. Well, maybe at least two. And it's curious that number 8 and number 7 are Wario Land 2 and Super Mario Land 2. Just because, like, Wario basically, he came out of Mario Land 2 and then got Mario Land 3 to himself, which was Wario Land, Super Mario Land 3. Which, okay, side note, I'm irritated with Nintendo doing those series that are spin-offs but not spin-offs, like Wario Land in Mario Land 3 or Yoshi's Island, Super Mario World 2, like, I want them to be nicely grouped on my shelf and to have the right names. And when Nintendo does this crap, which they did a lot in the SNES and Game Boy era, it irritates the crap out of me.
Yeah.
With that said, Wario Land 2 definitely feels like the first of the true official Wario Land games, because it changes the mechanics enough that Wario no longer plays like Mario. He's not just getting helmets, but he's like adapting and almost as invincible in places, and does its own weird thing with the mechanics so that Wario becomes his own character.
Right, you know, the Mario Land 3 Wario in there, he played like you were just playing Mario, like you said, with hats. The jumping, the style, the platforming, a lot of it was just you were Mario with a goofy grin and different powers. You know, this one felt like you were a different character and kind of really started to give us the Wario that we really know today.
Yeah, it was interesting and like diverse in its mechanics and how it did things. The one thing I would really critique here is that they put Wario Land 2 on this list, but then like almost immediately after it got a Game Boy Color release, which is the one that everyone knows. Yeah. And it feels almost like a double dip, because you know Wario Land 2 is going to be on the Game Boy Color list whenever we get to that. Like, for sure, to have it on both of these when it feels like, even though it came out after, the true official release was the Game Boy Color version. Meanwhile, Mario Land 2 sitting right above it. More double-dipping for that Mario series right there. We're going to see a fair bit of double-dipping on this list.
It's Mario. You got to pay your bills.
I know. And of all the games that they could have put on here, I think this is the right one. I'm not necessarily saying having Wario Land 2 on here is almost bad, although the Game Boy Color version. Let's, again, limit. But of all the Mario Land games to be on here, I think Mario Land 2 is the best. It was the one that kind of made you feel like you're playing the Super Nintendo Super Mario World on the Game Boy.
Yeah, the graphics in this game were really kind of incredible for the time on the Game Boy. You know, Mario Land, the original, I had to look for a fell on this list, and it kind of, like, I was disappointed at first to see it, I think, down in, like, the 40s, but after I thought about it, like, yeah, the game, you know, we set it off air a little bit. It's very raw.
Rudimentary.
You know, it's fine. There's some cool power-ups in there. The Super Bowl is great. The music is fun. But Mario Land 2 was just a better game.
Mm-hmm.
And deserved a place on this list. I played the heck out of that game. I loved it. It was fantastic.
Mario Land 1 feels like the developers compromising because they felt like the Game Boy wasn't powerful enough to do a true Mario game. So even though it came out after, like, I think Mario 2 and 3 were released in Japan, it's a scaled back one that feels almost more rudimentary than the original Super Mario Bros.
Mm-hmm.
But Mario Land 2 feels like, hey, we know what we're doing with the Game Boy. The Super Nintendo came out. Let's give them a Super Nintendo adventure to a T.
Yeah, the graphics in it are just light years ahead of the original, too. I'm looking at some of the screenshots, and, like, it could pass for, like, a noir version of a Mario 3.
Yeah.
Like, it really could.
Yeah, if you gave it, like, translate it into the Super Nintendo with a Super Game Boy adaptation and some color graphics, it would sit comfortably next to Mario 3 and Super Mario World. No doubt.
For sure.
And it's got great little mechanics and a fun game. Like, it's a scaled-down version of Super Mario World, which was what you wanted on the Game Boy. It was a fantastic game.
Yeah, the play was fun, the mini-games were great, the levels were neat, the power-ups were cool. Like, you know, there were times when I was playing this game that I was like, I wish I had these power-ups on my Super Nintendo. You know, just something different. But I understand they were game-exclusive, it's fine, but it was really just a fun game.
The next two, number 6 and number 5, irritate me on this list. We have Pokemon Red and Blue at 6. And yeah. Pokemon Yellow at 5. And I understand that Yellow was a slightly enhanced version of Red and Blue. But for fuck's sake, they're all the same fucking game, okay?
The only argument that I could see for having separate ones is you did need to have a buddy to trade with to, like, evolve some Pokemon, or some Pokemon that were in Red weren't in Blue, and vice versa. So, like, I understand. But, you know, we got on Nintendo a little bit for double dipping with Mario. Like, this feels like not even a double dip. You're just sticking your hand in the dip right
yeah.
now. Just try to scoop out as much as you can.
Like, even the list itself at number 5 goes, this enhanced version of the original games. Like, yes, you know what this is. It's like, I wouldn't have minded if they put only Yellow on here this high up and, like, Red and Blue further down. Or if they just said Red, Blue, and Yellow. You know?
Yeah.
Like, at this point, just fucking list Green from the Japanese version and have all of them here in a single entry. Like, I'm shocked they didn't decide to go number 6 Red, number 5 Blue, number 4 Yellow. Like,
yeah.
Guys, we get it. Pokemon is Nintendo's basically biggest franchise at this point. They can crap out bullshit in a cart and people will buy it, which they have been, because just look at how poorly Scarlet and Violet were received, and yet it still was a million seller. Nintendo knows they can print money with the Pokemon series. And if you liked Pokemon, you've probably gone and played some version of Red and Blue, or Leaf Green and Fire Red, or whatever else they have, or like the Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee that were remakes of Yellow. Like, they've dipped into this well a ton of times.
They always bring out, like, to your point right there, two games side by side.
Mm-hmm.
Green, Fire Red, Emerald and Pearl, you know, all these. So I get, like, how they're tying Red and Blue in together here, but then we don't need Yellow right above it.
Yeah, you don't, because Yellow is Red and Blue with a Pikachu that follows you around and maybe some slight changes. And it's slight, because it's still compatible with Red and Blue and still trades with Red and Blue on the same level, all the same Pokemon, all the same crap. They're all the same game.
Mm-hmm.
And Pokemon is fundamental, and this was the first game of the series, and it basically breathed new life into the Game Boy, and suddenly every 6-year-old had to have Pokemon. Spoiler, I've never played a Pokemon game because I was too old when these games came out. Like, 1998, I was 17 when these games came out, okay?
I played my fair share of Blue because, you know, we would go on trips and, like, I didn't have, like, you know, any other handheld to go on a car ride besides Nintendo. So I figured, like, a game, you know, let me get Pokemon. That's the new thing. I remember driving down with my family to go to the Outer Banks, you know, and I played Blue, like, the whole way down. So,
yeah, but you're, like, 4 or 5 years younger than me. You're the right age for this.
I was 17-ish, too. 16.
Well, then, I take back my comment. I apparently just felt elitist. So the funniest thing,
I didn't have a choice. I was in a car with my dad, mom, and sister, and I'm like,
I had Castlevania games.
I wanted to be in there.
I had Castlevania games. I had Mega Man games. I had other things I would play in the Game Boy other than that. Pokemon never struck me. Well, I think the problem is I had a neighbor who had kids, and the kids were absolutely obsessed with Pokemon. So my 17-year-old ass saw these 6 to 8-year-olds obsessing over Pokemon, and I'm sitting there going, is this a kid's game? And it kind of looks like a kid's game, you know?
It does.
I get it. There's depth to the monsters and the battles and fuck it, whatever. But it looks like a kid's game. So I never played it. I had, the neighbor bought me a copy of Pokemon Red. And to this day, it is still sitting on my shelf, sealed in box, because I had no desire to play the stupid thing. She's like, you're going to like it. Buy it. I'm like, no. Why?
It's so a collector's knife at this point.
It is. I can't open it. I think I bought my wife a copy of Fire Red so she could play that, because we obviously weren't opening Pokemon Red. It's a monster collectible game. We've seen a ton of these. They all come from Pokemon. Pokemon set the template. Yes. Number 6, that's fair. 6 and 5, that's too much.
They're a little overboard.
That's a little much. It's a little much, guys. What are you going to do when we get to Game Boy Color? Are you going to list, 8 Pokemon games there? Well, yes, it came out for the Game Boy Advance, but really, they're all Game Boy Color games, so we're going to devote the top 5 slots to all Pokemon. I don't buy it. So,
they probably could, and I guess they're probably not wrong, but that's just a cop-out.
Are they going to have, Pokemon, trading card game and Pokemon pinball on that list and stuff, too? Nintendo Life, please. Show a little restraint, okay?
I'm waiting for them to get a way to put, a 64, Pokemon Stadium on here or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to get Pokemon on there.
Yep. By the way, more double-dipping on the list. Wario Land, Super Mario Land 3 at number 4.
The better game, so I'm fine with it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Wario Land. I played the hell out of this game when I was growing up. I think I managed to 100% it at least once. It's a fun game.
Yeah. Looking at the screenshots here, they just take me back. I remember that castle with the skull. I remember the rabbit power up to float and everything. It was a fun game. It really started to give Wario his personality.
Yeah, and I mean, the hat items that he gets and the way the game works and the big chunky graphics, it's a very clear distinction from the Mario games that came before, while still feeling like this is the transitional game here, even more so than Virtual Boy Wario Land, which I do own, and that no one's really ever played. It's this thing of, again, with this list, I feel like there's a ton of really good games for the Game Boy. And we're going to discuss some of them when we go back through the list a little and do some honorable mentions. But to have Wario Land 2, Wario Land, Mario Land 2, and then the next one on this list as well that we're going to discuss in a second, all in the top 10, that's a bit much. You're showing your Nintendo card here, and you're sitting there going, well, you know, these were our two or three big franchises. Obviously, we have to have these here in every slot on the list. It's a bit much.
It's a little bit over-representation.
It's a bit much. With that said, Wario Land is a great game.
Yeah, not going to argue the game itself. Hella fun. I'm looking at another screenshot here. The horn thing to break blocks was a cool concept and everything. It almost kind of the hats that Wario wears in this almost kind of spawned, I guess, maybe the idea for Mario Maker being able to put shells on your heads and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff that still today was kind of birthed in, Wario Land 30 years ago at this point. It's just cool to see.
It's a cool game. I like the game. I don't think we need 4 of these on the top of the list, but it's a cool game on its own. Speaking of Mario games where he platforms and does jumping and stuff, Donkey Kong, the 1994 one, which is, don't get me wrong, the superior version of Donkey Kong and has led to the Mario vs. Donkey Kong sub-franchise, which in and of itself is very popular, and I understand.
Yeah.
And again, I wouldn't have a problem with this if it was just this and one of the Wario or Mario games in the top 10, because the Donkey Kong 94 is the superior version of Donkey Kong. I love this version of Donkey Kong, especially when you play on the Super Game Boy with all the bonus colors and everything. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
How many of these do we need on this list?
I mean, this feels we got to get DK on there, so, we'll pick one of the best DK games we can.
Mm-hmm.
We won't kind of cop out and put, Donkey Kong Country on here, because, we got to give DK his own standalone, but who's coming along for the ride shotgun?
Yeah.
It's gonna be Mario.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Do I think this game is better than Donkey Kong Land? That is a serious question. I understand that Donkey Kong Land is kind of a redheaded stepchild of the Donkey Kong Country series. There were three of them released for the Game Boy, the first one being its own true standalone and not just a slight remix of the SNES version that came out. Because Donkey Kong Land 2 and 3 are just basically the SNES games shrunk down. Yeah. But the first one had its own personality. I thought Donkey Kong Land was one of the best Game Boy games of all time. That banana yellow cartridge sat in my Game Boy for a long time as I played through it over and over again. Mm-hmm. To have that, I mean, we've got a lot of Mario platformers on here. If you put Donkey Kong Land on this in the top 10 and not had Donkey Kong 94 in here, I don't think I would have complained.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. It's, mm-hmm. This is like, I think it's, you kind of hit on, this is like the souped up version of the Donkey Kong we got from Nintendo. Like, it's, it's a better game, it plays better, the mechanics are a little bit better. So you took a game that was, you know, honestly kind of really bad, and you improved upon it, which is fine. And you put DK on here, like, I'm for it, but I'm not going to disagree. It would have been better to see Donkey Kong have a game that, like, stood alone.
Mm-hmm.
For him, even bringing Diddy along, whatever. But, like, you know, you can do a Donkey Kong and respect it without having to say, you know, we took the one that had Mario in it to put it on here.
Yeah. Well, and the impressive thing about Donkey Kong Land is that it was like Rare flexing, showing they could take the Super Nintendo mechanics and shrink it down to the Game Boy. The graphics aren't necessarily as good, although they tried their darndest to do those little 3D graphics on the Game Boy's pixels. It's arguable if it worked, but, like, it is a good Donkey Kong Country game in its own right, especially if you give it the forgiveness of being on the Game Boy.
Yeah, you gotta understand, the Game Boy was raw, and it didn't have the power that some of the other ones had. Mm-hmm. You know, and they did fumble a bit on some before they figured it out. Mario Land 1 is much worse than Mario Land 2, in just an appearance standpoint, and they improved upon it. Same thing with Donkey Kong, they made it better. You know, we gotta crawl before we can walk.
Yep. I don't necessarily disagree with the top two, though. We're going to be able to discuss some other honorable mentions again that maybe, yes, no, could have been on this list instead. But for sheer sales numbers and the fact that this became the thing that sold the Game Boy in 1990 while Nintendo was trying to figure out, is this a thing that we want to really support, or is this just this thing that we have on the side for, like, the little kids? Mm-hmm. Tetris became a phenomenon.
Yeah, it is this day, even, it is having a insane resurgence, you know, mm-hmm. everywhere. Like, there are people that can play this game to degrees that weren't even thought possible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we got it in our hand here with the Game Boy and Nintendo doing it, bringing the Tetris to us. And I can still remember the music to this day.
Yep.
You know, it's a fantastic game. It's just this, if you're putting a puzzle game on here, there's really no comparison for what this has done for just, you know, video game media in general. It deserves a place on this list. Number two is perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we bitched about the fact that the NES got its Nintendo Tetris on the Nintendo Life list as opposed to the Tengen Tetris. And I understand why. The Tengen Tetris was technically unofficial, but it was also the better game.
Yep.
But there wasn't a Tengen Tetris on Game Boy. They hadn't jailbroken the Game Boy so that they could make their own carts for it. So the only Tetris you get on Nintendo on the Game Boy was the Game Boy official Tetris, and it's playable. Everyone loves it. I met, like, my sisters and their husbands and everyone, they played Tetris for years on the Game Boy because it was just the addition you had. Yeah. Nintendo did right by this game.
Yeah, it's just a great game. You can play it for hours if you're good, or you can play it for a little bit, suck, and then try again. You know, there's so many ways to just, you know, get your fill of this game and get your money's worth. And it's just a great game. It's a fantastic puzzler. It's simple, you know, in its concept. Drop down, put the puzzle pieces in its place. You know, everybody knows Tetris. You can't have a list with a Tetris game in the vein of the console and not put it on here. It would just be sacrilege.
Mm-hmm. Finally, we have Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, and I don't debate having this game on here. Much like with Mario Land 2, this one took the Super Nintendo game, A Link to the Past, and basically made a sequel that felt like a proper Zelda game. It translates the graphics down to like the Game Boy's 4-bit color, but does it properly, has all the mechanics you want. In fact, it includes new mechanics that have stuck with the series, at least in the portable entries, for years afterwards. It is a solid, solid Zelda game in its own right, and not just a dumbed-down Game Boy version.
it's so funny that, like, when we look at lists that we do and we see so many, like, Zelda games on those lists, you gotta wonder, why did we go so many years between getting them? But then you think, maybe it's because they just are that good, you know? And there's no argument that this game is fantastic. You could have, when I saw Tetris was number two and I hadn't gotten to number one, I'm like, what is gonna be? Oh, well, I cannot argue this.
You can't argue this one. Well, and it's like, when you look at these Zelda games, everyone holds up Link to the Past, because that's the one that defined top-down proper Zelda for a generation. But then Ocarina came out, and it basically set all the mechanics for what a 3D Zelda could be like. How you expect the weapons and armor and everything to work, and what the mechanics of 3D Zelda are going to be. For 2D Zelda, Link's Awakening defied that for all the games that came out afterwards. Oracles, and, like, even to a certain extent, the Minish Cap games and everything, they draw from Link's Awakening and how they play and how their mechanics work and what you're expected to do with the items. It's impressive.
Yeah, and the formula, like you said, is stuck to this day. The remake on the Switch was just the same game with better graphics, same mechanics, same everything. It was fantastically fun to play. I'm excited for also the next Zelda that's coming out to see what Zelda can do as the main character. So just keep giving me Zelda, Nintendo. I love it. You know, Breath of the Wild, fantastic. Tears of the Kingdom, fantastic. And you're giving me something that's going to hit more home now, like my childhood, with the way that, like, this game's presented coming up. And to have Link's Awakening on this list at number one, I'm for it.
And we discuss, like, that new game that's coming out, the Zelda starring one in the series, the first one that's officially starring her that wasn't, like, on the PCI or something. And it's done in the same style as the Link's Awakening remake, and it makes me think, you know, we're probably going to end up with some mechanics that are shared there as well. So those mechanics still living on.
Yeah, and I hope that it plays very much similar. It looks like it's going to be. There's obviously been different powers and all that kind of stuff, and we'll break that down when the game comes out eventually. But it's more Zelda, more better. You know, don't give me years in between. We had to wait 5 years for between Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild. At least we got, you know, well, I guess it was also 5 years between Link's Awakening and this. Dang. I take it back. Nintendo, get your shit together.
Now, if we're talking about honorable mentions, I think 11 through 20 is a far more diverse and interesting list, with enough games on here that probably should have been almost entirely in the top 10. Like, at number 11, Kirby's Dream Land 2, the game that basically defined what to expect from a Kirby game, because all the swapping of powers and everything that you know Kirby can do started here. Castlevania 2, Belmont's Revenge, one of the best Castlevania games of all time, at number 12. DuckTales, Mole Mania, Mega Man 5 at 15, which is often considered the best Game Boy Mega Man game, and the only one to have its own cast of characters.
Yeah, Mega Man 5 was a fantastic game. I'm happy to see it on here, but would have loved to have seen it higher.
Harvest Moon, and then Donkey Kong Land 2, which actually ranks higher than Donkey Kong Land 1, which I also think is a travesty. Come on, guys. Final Fantasy Legend 2 at 18, which is the best of the Final Fantasy Legend games.
Sure.
Gargoyle's Quest, which created its own sub-series for the Ghosts and Goblins games, and then Kid Dracula. Yes, another Castlevania game, but a spin-off. Like, these are all far more interesting games with a far more diverse style of play, and they really showed what you could do mechanically with the Game Boy and do interesting things with it. All of these, I think, honestly, could be in the top 10.
Yeah, they're all really good games on here, and some hidden gems. You know, Kid Dracula, it's a fantastic platformer. You know, not many people may have played this game. You know, there's a lot of good stuff on here. We did talk about Donkey Kong Land, you know, and so on and so forth. Then Mega Man. Mega Man's got a billion entries in his franchise, too. It's fine, but you can't look at me and tell me that Mega Man 5 wasn't the best one on the Game Boy. It's so good.
Yeah. The fact that Mega Man 5 and Belmont's Revenge from Castlevania aren't in the top 10, I think, truly shows just how much this list is in the bag for Nintendo itself, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you could have very easily put those two up there and kicked, you know, Mario Picross out, or even dropped Wario Land 3 out of it.
Yes!
You know, you could have very easily done that. And maybe even something else to slide Kirby up there. Kirby and Simon and Mega Man.
Yep.
They really could have been up there. And I'm going to throw an honorable mention out here just for a game that I enjoy playing. I've scoured the list, and if I missed it, please let me know. I don't see Samus 2 on here. I don't see it. And
Metroid 2,
I don't see Metroid 2. And, you know, the game was insanely linear and very janky at times. But, I mean, it's still a Metroid game. And I don't know how you can have a top 50 of any Nintendo console that had a Metroid in it somewhere and not have Metroid on it. That's just weird to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of games, like, in the low ranks that I'm like, you even have these on here? Like, Quarth and Double Dragon for the Game Boy, Motocross Maniacs. Like, really? We're putting these on this list, but not Metroid 2? Which, you're right, is not in the top 50. I get that it's maybe the weakest of the Metroid games, but it's also the only one on the Game Boy, you know?
Yeah. That's yeah. my point, you know, like, you got Karth on here, which I mean, seeing that game still, you know, gives me PTSD about how terrible it was. And you don't put Metroid on here. It's just a curious choice you know, for just a very good franchise in general. And then, you know, we'll hit on another one. Dr. Mario at 32. Dr. Mario is amazing. So I don't know why you got that so far down, Nintendo. I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. No. I don't know what Nintendo Life is doing, what they were thinking with this. It's weird.
Yeah, there's some good quality choices on here. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you also see, you know, where they know where their money's made, and they're going to get those names where they belong, air quote. Whatever.
Honor for Metroid 2. Knock yellow in with red and blue and give Metroid 2 a slot at number 50, at the very minimum.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. You know, is it a good game? Maybe. I liked it because that was my first Metroid. I didn't have the ability to play the original Metroid before I played Samus Returns. So that was the first Metroid I played. And maybe I got them rose-colored goggles about how much I enjoyed playing that as a kid. But it you're definitely right. It is one of the weakest, if not the weakest, you know, entry in the franchise. But it's still a Metroid game that belongs on a list by Nintendo.
It's interesting because it is weak, but then I feel like the NES Metroid is weak. And
very raw.
Yeah, oh, it's really raw, and there's a lot of stuff in there where you're like, how am I supposed to figure this out? They were a little kinder with how they set up Metroid 2, and there were some foundational elements of that that game that continued on into the series. The version of the Varia suit that she gets with the big puffy shoulders to make her look different on the Game Boy, that was key there. The whole storyline about the Metroids and wiping out the planet and all the crap that came down afterwards, you needed that Game Boy game story to make that happen. Some of the powers, like the Spider Ball, started off in that game. There's a lot of stuff that's key to that game that's continued into the series. Mm-hmm. And without that game, if you just went from NES to the Super Nintendo ones, sure, you're going to get the better experience, but you're not going to get the story, and you're not going to get the exploration. Mm-hmm. So
Metroid really starts at, you know, Super Metroid. Mm-hmm. That's the Metroid that is the strength and the beginning of the franchise. And we've had things that came before it, sure, but they were all setting up Super Metroid.
Yep.
But to your point, you don't get the lore of Metroid in general as a franchise without Samus Returns.
Yep.
So to leave it off of any list just seems like a really weird choice.
Yep. No, I agree. Any other thoughts on the Game Boy, this list, the Game Boy in general? Anything else you want to say?
I adored my Game Boy as a kid. You know, I think it was one of my favorite, if not my favorite console before I got a PlayStation, just because I played it so much. You know, so many road trips I would play this. I had, like you said, the expanded battery pack and everything. This game, this cartridge and this console itself, I played the hell out of it. So it has a very special place in my heart for consoles that I played. I would put this way up there on my list in general. Some of the choices were a little strange, but I can't disagree with a lot of them.
They're all good. Like, everything in the top 20, I would say, should be in someone's collection if they're buying Game Boy games. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that does make for a fair top 20. I think they should probably all be mixed around and shuffled a bit more, because there's better games that should be in the top 10 than the ones we had. And maybe just nuke Mario Picross Atari.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how that's up on the top 10.
That's really, and Dr. that's the one.
Like, come
yeah,
on,
that one and Pokemon Yellow really stand out as sore thumbs to me. Like, what the hell are you thinking, Nintendo Life? Really? Really?
It's a choice.
It's a bad choice. This has been Not So Life from Asteroid G, taking a trip to SR388 to drop off both Mario Picross and Pokemon Yellow. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And I'm your buddy, Mike the Ghoul, going to go to the store and get some double A's to go bust it out, and let's go.
At least they'll last a while on the Game Boy, unlike the Game Gear. We will see you all next time.